to the paranormal rabbit hole. Boys and girls, we have another great episode for you today. It's the most strange story that I've ever told, but it's a good one. It's another great cryptid, so we're on a cryptid today. We did the Katami abductors last week, so I wanted to do a cryptid this week. I wanted to get back to my roots as a cryptid hunter and lover and just kind of go after a weird one. This one's a weird one. First off, I'd like to say thank you to the listeners. Again, you guys are amazing. And it's looking great. We're getting new listeners, and it's awesome. And I appreciate it. Thank you guys for sticking around and just enjoying the podcast, first of all. It's brilliant, and you guys are brilliant. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much. You know, you guys are showing us that this is not in vain. You know, this is a passion project for me. It's one of my great loves, is talking about the paranormal and investigating the paranormal. And I wanted to share that with you, so I get to, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that I get to share that with you, and that you enjoy it. So let's keep it rolling. And let's, first of all, I want to jump into the one thing that I said from last week, and I'll say it again. If you're not on Amazon watching Phantom Farm, what are you doing? What are you doing? Okay? You need to be watching Phantom Farm. You got the team from Terror Barn / Tales from the Dark. You got Austin, Nathan, Tyler, Brittany, Bob, all on this kicking ass. I mean, it was such a good movie. I enjoyed it because the evidence was right there, and it was palpable, and you could see it and hear it, and it was just right there in the moment. There were no cutaways, no nothing. It was just pure evidence right there in your face, and you can't deny it. And it's, I think, honestly, like, let's talk about Sir No Face for a second. If I were to put it up against Sir No Face, I don't want to get into Sir No Face for a different reason, but Phantom Farm is leaps and bounds better evidence of the paranormal than Sir No Face, which Sir No Face, I'm sorry, could be faked. I'm not going to say anything because you guys know I don't like, I'm here in the paranormal community, there's a lot of BS being slung around, especially in the paranormal side. You know, the cryptid side, everybody's just kind of searching and hoping. In the UFO side, they're all just together. I mean, I won't say we're all because you guys know my stance on it, but I can be convinced. But on the cryptid side, we're all, you know, like, oh, well, we need to discover this, except for the Bigfoot people. They're weird. And the Bigfoot people are like, you're all weird. We have the one true cryptid. there's very few Bigfoot people that believe that, and very few cryptid hunters that don't believe in Bigfoot. So to say that those two are at odds is kind of weird. But sometimes you do. Again, that's one of those that convince me. I want to be convinced. Make me a believer, you know. So with just like with aliens, make me a believer. But there's a lot of mudslinging going around. I know one bit of good news, well, to get back to it, Sir No Face compared to Phantom Farm is the better for paranormal evidence, and I will stand by that 100%. So, congratulations to Bob and Brittany from Tales from the Dark. Great show, guys. And same to Nathan, Austin, and Tyler. Guys, amazing. Amazing documentary. Thank you so much for putting that out. Can't say that enough. Another bit of news, Destination Fear will be moving to YouTube. I think that this is going to be a lot better for that paranormal team. They can get back to their roots and do things the right way instead of having somebody looking over their back 24/7. Not going to talk about that, but I will talk about, it looks like Nick from the Dillhole Baggins whole thing, the Ghost Adventures crew, the former Nick Groff, his NDA, blah, 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 I can't talk, so you're going to have to forgive me, but his NDA was up. He has come out and talked about certain things from the show that people have been wanting to know, and yes, he is unloading. Is all of what he says true? I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to talk about those negative forces in the paranormal community. I mean, you know what? I've let my feelings be known. I think Zach Bagans is the worst piece of garbage that has come into the paranormal community. I do not like him. And if that makes you not a fan of this show, I'm upset by that, because I want you to be a fan of this show, because we're not going to do what Zach does. We're not going to go out. And if we ever became big, we would still be this podcast talking about what you want to hear. We're not going to go into a place and go, it's haunted. How are you feeling right now? You know, like, I'm not going to do what he does, because what he does is for show, in my opinion. Now, don't take my opinion serious. It's my opinion for a reason. But as with a lot of people in the paranormal community, we just disassociate from him because he's just kind of like a, three-ring circus top hat guy. A ringmaster for a three-ring circus. And he's trying to make the paranormal a circus instead of the paranormal. He's trying to make it about him and money versus the actual paranormal field. And that's my opinion on Zach Bagans. You know, good luck to Dakota on YouTube. I'm pulling for you, buddy. Not that I personally know him, but I'm just saying I'm pulling for him. But let's jump into our topic. Let's jump into our topic, our time. It's our time down here. Goonies reference, sorry. But our topic today is the Loveland Frogman, and I apologize for going on that rant, guys. I just wanted to get that knocked out of the way before we jumped into it, because I've seen everything about that. Power to Nick for coming out and saying what he said. And I'm sure he's been holding that back for a while. If it's true, then I'm sure he's been holding that back for a while. But a lot of things seem to be coming out about him, Zach, and it's just not looking good. So that's about as far as I want to get into that, though, because F that. But the Loveland Frogman. Let's talk about the Loveland Frogman. You've seen the title of the show. That's why you picked the episode. So let's talk about him. And let's get this negativity. I don't know what sound effect that was, but I was kicking the air. Let's talk about these crazy, crazy amphibians. So, I apologize. Let me get a little bit of coffee there because I need energy. No, because my beautiful producer wife made it, and it was good. And it's cold brew, so it's delicious. Because I need the energy. And, I don't know. I already said I needed the energy, so I had to kind of restart that there a little bit, folks, because a little bit of a technical failure there. I don't know. Anyways, Loveland Frogman, here we go. Let's talk about the Loveland Frogman. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'll never do that again. These amphibious anomalies are quite shocking and terrifying and are kind of crazy. Kind of crazy. Because it's weird to think that these giant bipedal frog creatures would be running around, you know? It's probably one of the more ridiculous cryptid monsters that's been around. I think it was 1955, that they came about, yeah. So we're going to talk about them because, I mean, it's strange. A giant anthropomorphic frog creature. You know, it's kind of like out of Dungeons and Dragons. It's kind of this weird thing that, let's get into this weird, quacky cryptid. I don't know. I don't know what that was. I apologize. It's the coffee. So at approximately 3 a.m., an unnamed businessman claimed to have witnessed three strange bipedal quasi-reptilian entities congregating by the side of the road. The man pulled the car to the curb and observed these creatures for what was estimated to be about 3 minutes. During the time, he noticed that these strange beings stood between 3 to 4 feet tall, were covered with leathery skin, and had webbed hands and feet. Their most distinguishing characteristic, however, was their distinctly frog-like heads, which the man claimed wore deep wrinkles where hair should have been. So, man, Could you imagine just driving down a road? I feel like I don't know how I'd react to it. I don't think I would stop the car. I think I would just go, you know, we're just going to keep going. If they hop towards me, I'm going to run them over. And I would just drive and hope that they stayed squatting over there having their little chat about whatever it was that they were talking about that had them so, you know, enamored, I guess, what they had. But just as the man was about to walk away, one of the creatures suddenly held what the witness could only describe as a wand above its head. The anonymous source further claimed that sparks spewed out of the end of this device. Needless to say, he left post-haste. And thus begins the strange and bizarre legend of these enigmatic aquatic critters known as the Loveland Frogmen. Come on. I mean, okay, here we go. Picture this. You're driving down the road, and you live near a stream or creek, and you're driving down the road, and there's a bridge, and, you know, there's always a little downhill area that leads to the creek. And you're pulling over near that, near the side of the road. And it's because you see three squatting creatures just sitting on the side of the road, you know, congregating, as the British say, on the side of the road. I don't know. I apologize for that bad British. To all of my UK listeners, I apologize. But, and then they stand about 3 to 4 feet tall. So that, again, is imposing on its own. You know, like, they're not small, but they're small. They're small enough that they could still pose a threat to a person, I guess. So you see these creatures and you pull over. What's your next move when you get out of the car to go look at them? Like, are you thinking, I'm going to go over there and say hi? And, you know, I just think this would be the way to go. Like, just kind of sneak up on them and introduce myself. I think that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. Good idea, me. Thank you. you know, like, what's your thought process? Are you going, I don't think they'll kill me. I don't think they'll kill me. They look like nice frog guys. I'm going to go over there, see what's going down, and possibly make friends with frog people. Let's do this. I'm ready. I'm ready to meet new people. You know, are you sitting there doing that? Or are you going, nah, nope, I'm out. I'm just going to keep driving and look straight ahead and pretend I don't see them. But then, for these frog-like creatures to hold up a wand that spews out sparks, which, did they just, were they enamored by a sparkler? Did they find a sparkler and, like, light it on fire and see that it could do that and then just hold it up? And they're like, oh, I mean, maybe it was just three little weird mutant kids that were out and they found a sparkler and this guy was, like, spying on them. And that's how the Loveland Frogman got started. I don't want to say that's it, but. And mutant sounds like maybe a deformed kid instead of mutant. I'm sitting here thinking of, like, you know, radioactive people that were mutated and like the Hills Have Eyes. I'm thinking of maybe possibly they're deformed people. People with, you know, an unfortunate deformity. Like melon heads, which are probably fictitious as well. But that's bizarre. That's a bizarre scene to even stumble upon, too. Like, you're just driving along, and are those people sitting by the road? Hang on a second. What's going on here? I'm going to go over there and talk to them. Oh, those are four frog people, and they have a wand. Okay, I regret this decision. I'm going to back away slowly and burn rubber out of here. So that was in May of 1955. So, in March of 1972, about 1 a.m., nearly 17 years after the first report, a police officer who wanted to remain anonymous because, you know, this is kind of crazy to report, was traveling along Riverside, heading towards Loveland, when he saw something that would forever change his life. The officer claimed that he was driving slowly due to substantial amount of ice on the road when he saw what looked like a dog by the curb. Suddenly, the animal darted in front of the cruiser, forcing the officer to slam on the brakes in order to avoid hitting it. You know, so imagine this. This guy is sitting here. He's driving along and sees a dog, but it's not a dog, and it just runs out in front of, like animals sometimes do, run out in front of your car. Boom, brakes. You know, so in the span of seconds, this crouched frog-like creature stood on two legs and stared back at the officer, then scrambled over the guardrail, scurried down the embankment, and finally disappeared into the Little Miami River. The officer in question described the creature as being 3 to 4 feet tall and weighing in the area of about 50 to 75 pounds. He also claimed that its skin had a leathery texture and that the animal's features resembled those of a frog or lizard. So it may be the Loveland lizard men instead of frog men. Or maybe there's lizard and frog men and they're battling, and that's why they had wands, little frog guys had wands to fight the lizard men. You know? It could be a thing, I'm sure. I just think that would be cool, though. You know, the second sighting occurred 2 weeks later while police officer Mark Matthews had an encounter of his own. According to the report, Officer Matthews, while driving into Loveland, spotted what he believed to be an injured animal lying on the pavement. Matthews climbed out of his cruiser with the intention of removing the carcass from the already ice-slicked road when the creature abruptly lurched forwards into a crouched position. Taken aback by the frogman's reptilian visage, Matthews unholstered his revolver and took a shot at the creature, which then proceeded to hobble over to the side of the road and step over the guardrail, all while keeping a watchful eye on the trigger-happy officer. Matthews' frogman matched the first officer's description down to the last detail, with the exception of a tail, which was absent in earlier reports. So, either this officer was wanting attention, too, or he saw something, or he was just backing up his buddy because he's like, I don't want this dude to sound crazy. Let me help him out here. You know, another sighting that was had, really a few sightings weren't worth mentioning, but one on August 21st from 1955, Darwin Johnson stated that she was attacked by some type of creature while swimming in the Ohio River near Evansville, Indiana. She went on to claim that the creature attacked her from under the water and latched onto her knee. It occurred in about 15 feet of water while a friend, Mrs. Lamble, was present. The attack dragged Miss Johnson beneath the waves twice. After kicking free of the creature, she was able to swim to shore. With the aid of Mrs. Lamble, Mrs. Johnson bore several contusions on her leg. I almost said concussion on her leg, which included an alleged green palm print that seemed to stain the skin for several days. So apparently they have a green slime that does not come off for days. That sucks. So, that means that if you're cheating with a frog person, there will be evidence. You will be caught red-handed or green-handed. It's some kind of weird, maybe slime slash ooze. Maybe it's a protective layer of mucus that stains the skin, you know? But that's it. That's pretty much, you know, all the ones that are worth mentioning. I mean, a lot of people, like a farmer, there was a farmer that reported a strange creature in his field that were kind of adjacent to the Little Miami River. He said that they were frogmen with large pale eyes. Their skin was palish green and kind of a grayish green, and sharp teeth. Instead of attacking the man, they just ran back to the river. And again, a lot of the same creatures around the world. There are a few frogmen. In North Carolina, there's a lizard man. We'll talk about that one. I think it's the lizard man of Skateboard Swamp. I'm not sure about that. But there are several cryptids out there that kind of have a frog-like or reptilian-like. To even go further, there are some creatures that kind of are amalgamations. You know, it's one thing one minute, and then the next thing it's like we already talked Milrace. In Milrace, they had several kind of similar descriptions, but you know, some people described it as a guy in a mask and a grass suit, and that's what some people describe the Pope Lick monster. I think I can't remember. Good Lord, this is killing me. But they all like the skunk ape. Some people think that, you know, well, it's not the skunk ape. I'm sorry. There's another one some people think it's a lizard man. Others people think it's a Bigfoot. And it could be Scape or Swamp, you know. It is Scape or Swamp is the lizard man. So it's in South Carolina, Lee County. And I remember some people said, oh, well, you know, it's, you know, this big lizard-like creature. And then some people were like, oh, well, it's this big kind of hairy guy, but he has scales. But for the most part, the Scape or Swamp lizard man is a lizard man. Several cryptids have this way of some people describe it as a Bigfoot, others people describe it as this, some people describe it as this, some people describe it as this. You know, and it has several reasons why that is. It's because usually that type of monster is, you know, made up. It's like people are talking about it and seeing what they want to see and claiming that that's it, you know, there are some monsters that are like that. And, you know, sometimes that's because that monster is just, you know, it's been made up. And then somebody says, oh, well, I saw this. I saw it and it looked like this, you know, and that's what they're doing. They're seeing it and they're describing something and then they're going, okay, that's what I saw. Because it's like the fish in the story. Well, the fish was this big. No, it was this big. And each time you retell the story, the fish gets a little bigger. With this one, a lot of the sightings are the same, and they describe the same type of creature. So it's hard to put a lot of. You could put a lot of critical analysis on it, a lot of judgment on it because, oh, they're just all describing the same thing and they may not have seen it. Or they did see it. Now, do I think they have a wand that has shoot sparks? No, I don't think that dude saw that. He probably saw just some kids playing with a sparkler and, you know, they were probably out on Halloween or something. I don't know. It took place in May. It was probably some kids screwing around, you know, or something. I don't know, man. It just seems like... Like, it gets really far-fetched with the wand, you know? It just does. It just doesn't make any sense for it to have a wand. And with the cop story, it's, you know, the first cop you could believe, but then the second cop, you know, saying, oh, well, it had a tail. I don't think that's something the first cop would have left out, honestly, thinking about it, because that cop's not going to try and be like, oh, man, I'm going to leave out that it had a tail. He would go, this thing had, it had a tail. You know, it's something like that that you see that you would go, okay, well, I remember seeing this, and that, but he may not have been able to see the creature. It may have ran by fast, and he not be able to see if it had a tail. So, and that lends a little credibility if you describe the same creature and it just has one difference. That still has a little bit of credibility because if the other officer only saw it moving and he didn't see it stop or anything like that, then he would not know that it had a tail, really, unless he were like, unless that thing were creeping along, like clipping along it, you know, running like slowly across. Now, if from the way they make it sounds like he, you know, darted across like very quickly, like, whoa, you know, you slam on your brakes suddenly for. So that's what I'm seeing that. And I'm going, man, that sounds more plausible as a real creature. Like, you know, and the two guys saw the same thing, described it the exact same. And I would love to know how the first witness described it compared to the second and third. Like, how different were they between the three people? That would be the honest way to tell, because these two, I mean, the two cops really, what do they get from bringing this up? Nothing. It's just, oh, I saw Loveland Frogman. People, oh, great. Or they're going to think you're a kook, especially back in the 70s. You know, oh, man, all right, hippie. You know, I don't know. but they would. I feel like they would either judge harshly or be very, you know, very like, oh, okay, very, whatever. Okay. You know, and just ignore it. So, and that's not far-fetched at all. It's possible. It's very possible. And that's also why I would say, depending on the descriptions, could these guys just have been making it up? Could they? I mean, it's kind of the first one's kind of weird. The second and third one that not the farmer, but the girl that Mrs. Daniels or whatever her name was, she got grabbed by something and that left a green mark. Now they could have just, obviously the obvious quick one of that is like buy some kind of monster glove and grab somebody's leg with green paint. That's simple. And you could fake that. You know, that'd be pretty easy to hoax. The first sighting, not so much. Like, the first sighting's a little weird, but it kind of goes a little Dungeons and Dragons on you. And then you're like, okay, can I put any credibility behind this? Really? Can I put anything behind this that is going to make me say I believe it more? You know, is that possible? And it's just ridiculous how we have these certain stories that take off in a great direction and then veer off in another direction by introducing a magic wand that shot sparks. So it gets you good, and then you're like, yeah, man, that's weird. Okay, a wand. All right, I mean, come on, man, a magic wand. Like, did it shoot sparks really? Or was it a sparkler? Like, come on, bro. Come on. And that's where, like I said, they veer off. And they just, and it makes it hard to believe. And so that sucks. It sucks. But on this one, I can honestly say I don't know. I mean, strange things can happen. These weird creatures can be out there. I believe that there are certain creatures out there that we haven't seen yet. You know, Lizard Man? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That'd be so fucking cool. That'd be great. Octopus Man? Not so much. Not as good. I could do without. But, you know, like, weird stuff would be amazing. We have, you know, ABCs. Alien Big Cats, for those of you that don't know what that means. And if you don't, then now you do. And we're going to talk about those sometime soon, because I love that. I love that. We already talked about black dogs, and that was wicked. But, yeah, other than that, boys and girls, we've gone down another paranormal rabbit hole. Do you realize that? Did you enjoy it? This is kind of a weird one. Don't know how I feel about it. Don't know if it's true or not. I'm leaning more on the side of it not being legit, you know, just because that's... I don't know, man. I would love for this one to be real because I think it'd be cool. But do I? No. So But anyways, yeah, we've killed enough time together for right now, for this topic. I mean, I could go on and on about other stuff, and I'm sure you'd be fine with that. But, you know, this topic's done. So go check us out on Instagram at theparanormalrabbithole.podcast. No, I'm sorry, it's theparanormalrabbithole.podcast. All one word. All one word. Go check us out there. Follow us there. And, you know, we just kind of post the episodes right now. We're moving further and further, and so we're going to get more stuff that's going to go up on that. So just sit tight, boys and girls. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. But you can also do us a huge favor by keeping up with those 5-star ratings. If you slap down a 5-star rating and walk away, it makes me happy. It makes the show happy. It gets us going. But yeah. I'm trying to antiquate it to something, but I'm failing miserably. But leave a review. You know, that review really helps too. And you can only do that on Apple. So if you're listening on Apple, just leave a review. But other than that, boys and girls, have a great night. We'll see you next week. Oh, and thank you for going down this paranormal rabbit hole with me.